let you be seated before we read our verse. I just want to take a moment. I may have done this before, but I don't mind doing it again. I want to give honor to Brother Chuck Cox also. If I can, I will anyway. Brother Cox, when I was a new Christian, and right after we got married even before we were married, my wife and I, 36 years ago, Brother Cox used to come by and visit. And he pretended he was hungry, but he was really coming by just to disciple us a little bit. And we always enjoyed him coming by, and he always had a word for us, and we would share a lunch. And I know he prayed for me every day. The night before we got married, Brother Cox stood up in our wedding. The night before we got married, he saw me kind of stumbling and fumbling and bumbling around. He said, "Brother Seidel, why don't you come over and stay at my house tonight?" So I had no idea what I was doing or where I was going, and he just kind of guided me through the night and made sure that I got to the wedding the next day. And so if you want to see a godly man, just watch Brother Chuck Cox. There is a godly man. Amen. I'm going to read from Genesis 37, verses 31 to 35. "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no.' And he knew it, and he said, 'It's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.' And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down unto the grave, unto my son mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." Tonight I'd like to speak on the topic, fake news or good news? I read this from a website called TheFederalist.com. February 1st, POTUS threatens to invade Mexico. On February 1st, Yahoo News published an Associated Press report about a phone call President Trump shared with Mexican President Enrique Peña, I think it's Peña, but it's not spelled that way, Nieto. The report strongly implied that President Trump was considering sending U.S. troops to curb Mexico's bad hombre problem, although it acknowledged that the Mexican government disagreed with that interpretation. Did you catch that last phrase? Mexican government disagreed with that interpretation. The White House later reaffirmed that Trump did not have any plans to invade Mexico. Nevertheless, John Pasatino, the deputy news director of BuzzFeed, shared this story on Twitter with the exclamation, "Wow." He was retweeted 2,700 times. John Favreau, a former speechwriter for Barack Obama, also shared a story declaring, "I'm sorry, did our president just threaten to invade Mexico today?" He was retweeted more than 8,000 times. Meanwhile, the Yahoo News AP post was shared more than 17,000 times on Facebook. Times A post of the misleading report was shared more than 66,000 times. ABC News posted the story, and it was shared more than 20,000 times. On Twitter, the report, with the false implication that Trump's comment was serious, was shared by media types such as Think Progress's Judd Legum, the BBC's Anthony Zurcher, Vox's Matt Iglesias, Politico's Shane Goldmacher, and comedian Michael Ian Black, and many others. Well, we haven't invaded Mexico yet, if you didn't know that. So that brings me to the question. Why did Jacob believe the bloody coat? J. Jacob's sons bring this bloody coat to him, and they don't necessarily tell him, this is your son, but they show him the coat. They present it to him like they're not really sure what happened here, but they think it might be his coat. But of course, Jacob immediately recognized this coat of many colors as the one that he had given to his son. This was Joseph's coat. This was a special coat. This was a coat that was that carried a lot of baggage with it, if you will. This was a special gift that Jacob had given to his son. And when he saw it, all he saw was Joseph broken and bleeding on the ground. Every other signal, every other understanding, every other conclusion that Jacob draws from this point forward is colored with the emotional impact of the vision of that coat of many colors with the blood on it. He recognized it and he has an emotional response. There's a lot of, you see, this was special between Jacob and Joseph because no other son received this coat. And it was, when it's described as a coat of many colors, some people refer to that as a coat of many fabrics, in that it was woven in a special way to bring several types of fabric together, including fabrics of different colors, so that it would have been precious to anyone just for the sake of its value. So not only was it a special gift, it was a valuable gift besides. And Jacob was showing his favoritism toward his son Joseph. Well, you can imagine, if any of you have siblings, Joseph's other brothers were kind of upset by this favoritism that was being shown toward him. So there's the emotional baggage that goes with the relationship between the father and the son, but there's also a lot of emotions attached to this coat that have to do with Joseph and his brothers. And in addition, I can't but think that those brothers at some point or another revealed to their father their feelings about his favoritism toward their brother Joseph. So there was probably also some emotions that were stirred up there in Jacob's heart related to those 10 other men that were standing there. So this wave of emotion washes over Jacob as he's looking at this bloody coat of many colors. And then he has to think about, how can this be? How did this happen? In his mind, he creates a whole scenario. The scripture doesn't say that the 10 brothers told the story. The way it indicates is that he created this story. He went through this whole thought process that was colored by the emotions of the moment. And then he gave his response. A lot of times we don't recognize we're being manipulated by the world around us. Because of that, the information that we are given is in the context of an emotional overflow. A highly charged emotional content. Think about the political ads we've seen in the last several years. If it's a negative attack ad, the first thing you hear is this deep throbbing bass tone, thum, thum, thum. And then they start talking about the opponent and what a terrible person he is and all the terrible things happened wherever he went. And the whole time there's this throbbing funeral-like music in the background, and there's not much light on the screen, and it's like we're looking at this person in the shadows. And because they're not really worried too much about the message as much as they are the emotional response that they're going to get out of that ad. Advertisers do it to us all the time. If they want to sell a family-friendly product, they show, you know, the patio on a bright, sunny day, and mom and dad are smiling, and the kids are having fun in the pool, and you know, if you buy this product, your family will be as happy as these people. Not to mention all of the other ways that the media manipulates us emotionally, using exciting activities for outdoor products and sexual content to sell cars, and just if they can get a hold of your emotions, their thinking is they can affect the way you think. Unfortunately, too many of us are making lifestyle and lifetime and even eternal decisions based on the emotional response that we have to the world around us. We base our concept of God sometimes, or our concept of heaven or eternity, based on how we feel about things, about how things make us feel. We are encouraged in our world today to respond to things at an emotional level, because the people who are giving you these media messages are very much aware of the fact of their ability to manipulate us emotionally. And as a result, we have learned to respond to spiritual input in the same way. How do I feel about this service? How do I feel about what that preacher is saying? I don't see anywhere in the scripture where the Bible says that God promises to make us feel good all the time. We can't base our concept of God. I've heard so many times people say, well, my Jesus wouldn't do that. Well, maybe your Jesus wouldn't, but I think we need to look in the scripture to see what the real Jesus would do. We cannot base our concept of God in eternity on what our past experience is or the emotional feedback we get from a particular situation. I can look back in my time there. I had some genuine spiritual experiences in my childhood that were not at all related to what was actually happening at the time. I remember wonderful Christmas Eves where, as a family, we went to midnight services. And it's even to this day, it's a precious memory. And I at times think, oh, I wish I could recreate that. But you know what? It had more to do about being with my family and being in an environment than it did in any relationship to the truth of the Word of God. So that, in my mind, where I categorize things, is a religious experience, but in fact, it doesn't really have any much to do about the truth, except that it was a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. But the context of it is emotional. And many of us, when someone confronts us with the truth of God's word, we respond with an emotional thought. No, I've got too many positive feelings about my upbringing, about my religious experience, and I'm not gonna turn in the face of all those good feelings I have. I remember one time a friend and I went out to California, and we were not very religious at the time, I'll have to tell you. But we did visit my friend's brother, who was living in a spiritual commune in Pasadena, California. And we stayed there for a couple of days, and I was so entranced by what was going on there. I thought it was so cool, man. and this guy, he saw, ooh, I got a live one here. I'm sure that's what he was thinking, is we can get him. And so he started introducing, giving me pamphlets and teaching me how to meditate and how to chant and all. Ooh, and I was having this wonderful spiritual time. And my friend Joe was looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And he took us up on the top of a cliff, and we sat up there and we looked down at the valley, and he started explaining about, ooh, all these spirits that were there and how we can be in touch with them and how we can be in tune with them. And I'm thinking, ooh, wow, you know. And it was just this, it was, at the time for me, it was this, I was experiencing enlightenment. And I grabbed all those pamphlets and all the material I could, and I thought, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to bring this back home. And somehow, between the time I left California and the time I got home to unpack my stuff, all that stuff disappeared. I think my friend Joe decided that he wasn't going to let that enlightenment continue. Or else God sent an angel and he took it out of there, but I never could find that stuff again. But that, at the time, it was just an emotional high. But everything changed, Brother Grant, when I sat down and you taught me a Search for Truth Bible study. I really was searching. I was in college and I'd had some classes that had talked about end time things even. I was a literature class. They talked about apocalyptic literature, and I had a lot of questions, and I was hungry. God was working on me. You know, and that was when the late great Planet Earth was the big deal on campus. Some of you have no idea what that means. And he sat down and started showing me what the Bible said. And here were specific answers to actual questions that I had developed over the years. And here, there's an answer here. And I would ask a question, and, well, let's look. Here's another answer in the Bible. Time after time after time, I kept finding answers in the book. So, regardless of how enlightened I felt there on the top of the cliff, or how wonderful it was at those Christmas Eve services, the truth was in the book all along. Praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. When I started coming to Calvary Gospel Church, I had plenty of emotional experiences. There was a lot of things going on here. I felt a lot of powerful worship, and I began to experience the presence of God. I learned to weep and cry at the altar, and I learned to jump and shout and dance around and sometimes run around the sanctuary. So there was plenty of emotional things going on in my life, spiritually speaking. But this time around, those experiences were based on what the Word of God said, instead of me trying to interpret spiritual reality through my experiences. See, the thing we need to do if we want to know the truth is to judge and evaluate experience and emotion according to the truth of God's Word. And too many people are trying to evaluate God's Word through their emotion and their experience. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked. That means we can fool ourselves. Jesus told the Jews in a discussion that he had with them, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But," he said, "it is those scriptures that testify of me." Praise God. See, they had a spiritual experience. They had a religious experience. They were tied to it. They were bound to it by generations. And Jesus said, "You think that your religious experience describes the Messiah, but I'm telling you, the Messiah is standing right in front of you, and the book that you're reading bears witness to me." Praise God. So if you're here tonight, I'm not here to take anything away from your spiritual experiences. I'm not here to take anything away from your religious background, but I am here to tell you that you have got to evaluate your emotional and your experiential background with the Word of God. Amen. This is from the website Recode. Facebook has started pinning a disputed tag on fake news, as it promised it would back in December, as parts of it were going to fight fake news, but there's only so much we can do campaign. Here's an example we can see out in the wild. spotted by Gizmodo, whoever that is, and others yesterday. A made-up story by the Seattle Tribune asserting that Trump's Android device was believed to be the source of recent White House leaks. If this report shows up on your feed, it will be accompanied with a warning label, along with links to fact-checking sites explaining why it's not true. Of course, Facebook, being Facebook, Facebook won't say it's not true. They'll just say that it's disputed. Well, how do we know that Recode's telling the truth about that in the first place? Who do we believe? Some of the fact-checking organizations that are on the web have been fact-checked themselves, and we turn out that they have a bias. So I guess it's a matter of what fake news you want to believe. Another reason Joseph believed the fake news was that he believed his sons. I've got 10 of my sons that are telling me the same story. Why wouldn't I believe them? He trusted the source. See, too often we just trust the source without checking it. Well, you know, I was raised in a religious home, so everything they say must be right about God. Everybody knows that, you know, God loves everybody and all roads lead to heaven, because that's what, everywhere you look, that's what it says. Have you checked that source? He never thought that 10 of his sons would collude together to tell him a lie about Joseph. Never even occurred to him, evidently from the scripture. Just think if one had stood up for the truth. Just think if one had told the real story. But in Jacob's mind, how could they all be wrong? Don't we fall prey to that thinking sometimes? Well, you know, we're just a small group, you know, us Pentecostals. We're only a certain percentage. How can we be right and the rest of the world be wrong? You know, some people believe everything that the New York Times and CNN say. Of course, there are other people who believe everything that Fox News and Breitbart say, too. Oops. Maybe they're all wrong a lot of the time. I just lost a couple votes there, Pastor Roy. The majority of the scientific community rejects the truth of creation by God as the beginning of the universe. How could they all be wrong? Never mind that they don't have a satisfactory alternative explanation, or that they can't prove what they believe, or they can't even all agree on what they believe. But as long as you don't believe creation, you're all right. Who wants to be the one guy at work when you're sitting around eating your lunch that believes in sobriety? Who wants to be the one guy sitting around at lunch that thinks that you shouldn't have sex before you get married? Who wants to be that person who thinks that marriage is for just one man and one woman for life? See, the whole world thinks differently. How could they possibly be wrong? But the Bible says, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Praise God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. See, we think that this is solid. We think that this building is something that we can rely on, but heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said. But my words shall never pass away. You see, sometimes we say, me and Jesus, we make a majority. I believe that's true. If I'm on the side of Jesus, that is. But you know what? God doesn't need me to make a majority. God's a majority all by himself. He's God. I said, he's God. The Bible in Hebrews 9:27 says this, is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Now that's a scripture that this world doesn't like. But see, if the Bible's true, and I believe it is, I don't think there's any question about that. It's a bad idea to make decisions about your eternal soul based on majority thinking, based on the popular thought for today. It's not a good idea to look at what's trending to decide how you're going to spend eternity. You won't be able to determine from Facebook what God's word really says. And Twitter and Snapchat are not going to help you at all. I know it's Snapchat. You have to do that once, right? You have to do that. Especially if you're over 50, you have to do that once. You can't make those decisions about your eternal soul based on those sources. I said eternal soul. I'm talking about life after death. Forever. Website. Com Library is the name of the website. It's LibGuides. I think it really means lib for short for library. LibGuides.com.edu. So all you conservatives, just because I said the word lib, that's okay. It's about libraries. We're having fun now. This is what it says. Clickbait! The secret they don't want you to know. You'll be amazed. It will shock you. You won't believe what happens next. The secret they don't want you to know. And the trick they hate. The headlines above are typical clickbait, always sensational. What's clickbait? Just what it sounds like. Content whose main purpose is to attract attention and encourage visitors to click on a link to a particular web page. The problem with clickbait is that you don't always recognize it for what it is. What you get when you click on clickbait is a sensationalized, misleading story. Too many of us are taking the bait. See, here's Jacob. This coat is laid before him. He recognizes it as his son's coat. His other 10 sons have brought it to him, so that gives it legitimacy, and he sees blood on the coat. It's clickbait. He clicks on the blood, and in his mind, it says, that's Joseph's blood. He saw the blood, but it wasn't the blood of his son. He was led to believe that it was the blood of his son, but it wasn't. He thought he was looking at the real deal. Because his emotions were charged by the presence of that coat, and because his sons seemed to verify that that's what it was, he saw the blood, and he saw the blood of his son. My son's coat, brought by my sons, it's my son's blood. You had better make sure you have the real thing. Only the blood of the Son is authentic. Only the blood of the Son is authentic. any other blood, any other way to wash your sins away, any other means to forgive sins is not the real deal. You see, we accept a lot of things as truth. There's a lot of things in our minds that we think are scripture. How many of you and how long did you believe that it was an apple that Eve ate in a garden? It doesn't say apple. It never said apple. But there's millions of people out there that still think that it was an apple in the garden. Because somewhere, someone gave that as the image. It confuses the story. And a funny thing happens when you substitute something for the truth that exists in the Word of God. For one thing, an apple somehow trivializes the truth of what happened there in the garden. It gives it a different impact when you change what the Bible actually says. People tell stories about the apple. They make jokes about the apple. It trivializes the event. Hey, it wasn't about an apple. It wasn't even really about the fruit. The story is about obeying God's word. It's about whether you're going to obey or disobey what the word of God says. That's the story of the Garden of Eden. It's about finding the real deal. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil either. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't care what Pink Floyd says. See, when we change the words that are in the book, we give significance to things that the Bible doesn't give significance to. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible, friends. I was a pretty new Christian, and I had a lady said, tell me that. Well, cleanliness next to godliness, that's what the Bible says. I was pretty new. I said, and I'd already read a lot of the Bible. I said, I don't think that's in there. Oh, yes, it is. You better read your Bible, boy. Well, one of the first things that Brother Grant taught me was that you use a concordance if you want to find out what the Bible says. And if there's a particular word you want to find in the Bible, you open it up because every word that's in the Bible is there. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and guess what? It's not there. It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad thought. Cleanliness is a good thing, in case anyone's wondering. But the Bible doesn't say that cleanliness is next to godliness. She was so certain. I mean, she was like adamant. And I thought, wow, I must have missed that. I better study a little harder. So I thought, what is wrong with me? Just because someone is certain about what they believe doesn't mean it's true. Just because someone has a great experience doesn't mean that they're teaching the truth. Just because they can give you an emotional plea doesn't mean that it's accurate. There is no other blood but the blood of Jesus that will wash your sins away. There is no other way to receive eternal life but through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let's stand. There's no other blood. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Only the authentic blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will wash our sins away. There's a lot of fake news out there. There's a lot of fake spiritual and religious news. But we need the good news of the gospel. In Corinthians, Paul said that the gospel, the good news, is Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was crucified. He died and was buried. He rose the third day from the dead. That's the gospel. Peter said, because Jesus did this, we should repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And we will, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That's the good news. And it's not fake news. It's good news. Not only is it good news, it's great news. And it's great news forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you need to withdraw from some influences in your life. Maybe you're getting too much input, and it's affecting your output. I'm not just talking to people who are new here. I'm talking about church people. Praise God. We need to make sure that we're getting the real deal on a regular basis. Praise God. If you have a need tonight, I want to give you a second opportunity to come down to this altar and pray. We had a great example of it earlier in the service. Seems like a long time ago now, but if you need healing, I believe that Jesus Christ is a healer. The book says so. It's the real deal. Come on down right here on this side. We'll put our hands on you, pray for you with your permission. And we believe that God can heal you. It's happened here many, many, many times. If you are in need of salvation, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, if you want to repent from your sin, that means to ask God to forgive you and to be committed to changing your life. That's repentance. God, please forgive me my sin. I want to change my life. That's repentance. You can do that right here. He will answer you. And he can fill you with the Holy Ghost if you will let him, by lifting up your hands in praise and worship and expressing your faith toward him. The Holy Spirit will fill you up and you'll begin to speak in another tongue. You can be baptized in Jesus' name and your sins can be washed away. You can start a brand new life tonight, sinless in the eyes of God. That's his plan for you. Praise God. And if you're struggling with something, come right down in the middle here. We'll pray with you. Doesn't matter if you're struggling with a relationship with your neighbor or a long-term mental problem, whatever it is, God can meet with you here and help you. Praise God. He is able. Please come and pray. If you need the Holy Ghost, God wants you to have it more than you can even understand. Your sins can be washed away. Come and ask him to forgive you, and he will. Praise God. God is real. God is true.